All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5 and verse 4. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, again for the privilege that we have to gather together as your people. And Lord, calling upon you to open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Lord, that you might use us to your honor and glory, and that we would see great things done to lift you up, Lord, and Lord, that you would save souls, and that you would be pleased to use us to tell others about you, and Lord, that you would see fit to bring people our way, and Lord, that we might see them trust you and follow you in baptism and church membership. Again, Lord, to your honor and glory and our blessing. So build Northwood, Lord, and use us again for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply, Launch Out Into the Deep. Amen? Launch out into the deep. You know, when God commands, we can have confidence and faith that he is in control, right? And so we don't have to wonder if he's going to do what he's promised to do. We know that in his word, everything that he has promised is the truth. Do you believe that? And so God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can have confidence in our God. So this evening in our text, what we'll consider is the necessity of the human agency that God uses. That's you and I. But also, as we consider this here, we'll find that the miracle that God performed, he was using human instrumentality, but the Lord was the one that made the difference in using that human instrumentality. So tonight, as we consider this, we want to see that God works through, really, the frailty of mankind, right? Now, the wisdom, in fact, hold your place right here, and let me have you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a moment. I want to read something here by way of introduction that will help us here to be reminded of an important truth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll see here really God's prescribed method on how he wins souls for his honor and glory and how he uses you and I. And we can this gives us confidence knowing that God can do anything as he says he will do. Amen? And everything that he says he will do. So look at verse 18 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Isn't that the truth? The world laughs and mocks and says, "Oh, you got religion. Oh, no, listen, I got something more than that. I was redeemed, amen. I was saved by the blood of the Lamb, and God had cleansed me from all my sins. God helped me understand my need to trust him, to repent of my sins, and then to turn and trust him." Then he says this in verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." So those that may walk upright according to the world, they may be wise in the world, they may have some good integrity in the world, but the Lord says those who reject me and those who do without me, he says, I'm going to bring them down. They're not going to be, because he's God and he can do that, right? And he is righteous, and so he must be exalted and lifted up. Whether people choose to do that or not, that's their choice. But God says, I will bring to nothing their understanding. Verse 20, he says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God," listen to this, "by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Isn't that amazing? God said it will be through the foolishness of preaching his word that people will be saved. Can you count on that? Is that applicable? Does that apply for our day and age as well? Has God changed? Has he changed? No. So listen, can God not still perform
all of his promise as he gave them back on this in this day, in this time, as the Apostle Paul was writing? Absolutely. So let's not come up with some crazy ideas that are not in the Bible. Amen? Let's not think that God's hand has been shortened, because it hasn't. And let's with confidence boldly approach the Lord, even in our day and age, and even in this time in our lives, may we approach the Lord with confidence, because God is wanting to do an amazing work in our lives. Amen? Here's the question. Do you and I have the faith to trust the Lord, to believe Him in that, and to follow Him in the promises that He wants to bring us into? Okay, back to Luke just for a few moments. And we want to look at this text here, Luke chapter 5 here, just for a few moments here. And we want to look at what happens before the Lord Jesus Christ and after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We can do things in our own power before the Lord Jesus Christ and after. And by the way, Peter is a saved child of God in this particular case. And he followed the Lord for a little while and kind of went back to his fishing here. And some things, that's why Peter said to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." Right? I'm not worthy, because he'd followed the Lord for a little while and then went back fishing. Amen. But God is so good that even when we go astray, He comes looking for us. Amen. To bring us back into the fold. So notice again here, verse four. He says, "Now when he left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" So let me ask you a question here as we consider this here, and this is really the effort by ourselves is useless when it comes to the power of God. We can't do anything without the Lord working in our lives. We can talk to people till they're blue in the face, but God is the one that has to shine the light. God is the one that has to do the work in the lives of people for them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question as we consider this tonight. What was the reason that Peter and all of his other friends didn't catch any fish? Did Peter and the other fishermen have no experience in fishing? Could that possibly be it? No, of course not. Did they lack hard effort and perseverance at their work? No, look at what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says this, "And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night.'" So they were working hard, right? That word toiling, they worked hard, but they came up empty-handed. And by the way, likewise also, you and I can do the same thing. We can work hard. We can do a lot of things, but if God's not in it, and if we've not petitioned the Lord and called upon the Lord, we're going to come up empty-handed as well. So, by the way, maybe there weren't any fish in the sea. Could that have been the problem? No. We know in verse 6 they caught all kinds of fish to where the net break, right? So we know that wasn't the problem. So what was the reason really that they did not catch before, if it wasn't because there was no power in man's hardest effort apart from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? There is no power in man by himself with the best of intentions unless the Lord Jesus Christ is involved in our lives. Isn't that the truth? So we need to call upon the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and say, "God, I need you. I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know you're wanting to do a work in my life in this day and age." Amen. For your honor and glory and for my blessing. So God's word, this is why God's word tells us that without Jesus, we can do what? We can do nothing. But with Christ, we can do all things. By the way, it is the presence of Christ that grants us success. That's who the one that gives us good success. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was the presence really of Jesus in Peter's boat that created the influence that drew the fish into the net. Isn't that amazing? So we look at it. Peter fished hard. We saw that he was industrious, right? But he came up empty-handed. It wasn't that he didn't have help. It wasn't that he didn't have hard effort, and he worked hard. He came up empty-handed. What was the difference? The Lord was in the boat. Amen? That time, the Lord was in the boat. And God wants to be in our life that we might be fishers of men. Amen? And we might see souls saved. So likewise, the Bible also tells us that when Jesus Christ is lifted up, by the way, in his church, when the Lord is lifted up in his church, his presence will be the church's power. Amen? That's what God wants us to have. So So listen to what the Lord is saying in the midst of his church. This is what the Lord said. Remember, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Who's going to do that work? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to do that. So let us go out the rest of this week and for the rest of our lives, soul fishing. Amen? By the grace of God, and by the way, looking up where? To the Lord Jesus Christ, who commissioned us to go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we don't have to have the talent. God gives us the power. Amen? We don't have to see so many times people say, well, boy, they would be good at this and they would be good at that. When it comes to spiritual things, we don't have anything good to give the Lord unless God blesses it. Amen? So our efforts must be blessed by the Lord, and so he wants us to go out, and then our labor won't be in vain. And by the way, he's the one that's commissioned us to let down the nets, to be the witnesses throughout the whole world. So let's look at this here. Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken what? Nothing. You know what? I'm thankful for the blessings God is bringing our way. I'm thankful for returning visitors on Sunday, and I'm thankful for first-time visitors. But Lord, increase our coast. May you use us for more souls to be saved. Amen? And so give us the wisdom, give us the boldness to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because by the way, that's our commission, is it not? That's what he's called us to do. So notice what he does here now. And by the way, that's the faith part. Do you believe that God has called us to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. All right. So now listen, tell the Lord, Lord, I need you, because if you're not in my life like he was in Peter's boat, nothing's going to happen. So, Lord, I need you. And how do we know he's in our life? Well, we're bearing the fruits of the Spirit. When we're abiding in him, there's peace, there's joy. Right? Amen. There's all these things that we need to be looking for, and maybe we ought to be doing some self-examination to make sure that we are resembling the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one. Listen, did God save us to leave us as we are? No. Has he not called us to become like him? Now, he doesn't want us to manufacture that. He's the one that brings that change into our life that would make us to be like him. And by the way, that the world might see the love of God in us and the change that he has brought into our lives. He doesn't want us to manufacture something. Well, I'm supposed to be happy, so we put this smile on our face. That's not real. It has to come from the Lord. So again, the Lord comes to Peter to bring him back to the right place. And notice again here in verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Notice this, verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. So the other fishermen were there. So as soon as they did that, because God had called them to do that, they were in sync with the Lord. Boy, oh boy, did they catch fish. Amen? And notice what happens here in verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Wouldn't it be a blessing, amen, to go out and tell people about the Lord, and people are getting saved, and we need to say, hey, come give us a hand. We need to get some more. We need to fish some more of these people to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might see them getting saved, baptized. And can God do that today? Amen, he can. But listen, are we excited about the opportunity and the prospect of the Lord working in our lives? Or have we said, oh, listen, he hasn't done that in my life, and I can't tell you how long, if ever. Boy, that's a quick way to say, Lord, listen, we've tried that before. I don't think so. In this day and age, it's kind of crazy. I don't think you're going to get anybody saved. Well, wait a minute, we can't, but God can. Amen? And he wants to use us. But listen, we've got to be excited with expectation that God is faithful and able to perform that which he's promised in our lives. So, what happens here? Verse 7. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know why? Because he had been called already, and he followed the Lord for a little while, and then went fishing, and went back to his trade. And then he said, you know, the Lord made a big difference there, and he saw that the Lord made a difference, and he humbled himself and said, I don't deserve what you're doing. But the truth is, none of us do. You have been called by the Lord into salvation. He has opened up your eyes. You have chosen to yield yourself to the Lord in salvation, and it is the Lord himself, amen, that chooses to bless our lives as we by faith or trust believe what he's promised, that we might walk after him. Listen, does God want his people on fire about his business? God is the one that puts the fire in our heart. If we will spend time calling upon the Lord, Lord, stir up the embers of my salvation. Get me to be excited. Listen, can anybody be saved if we're not excited? Can anybody, in fact, they might look at us and say, whatever you have, I don't think I want it. Amen? If we don't have the excitement and the joy of the Lord, again, not something that we manufacture, but something that God, listen, Jesus is getting ready to return. Amen? And we're going to stand before him, and God is giving to us an unbelievable opportunity in the day and age. We have the freedom to share the gospel. And God is still on the throne with all the power necessary to open up the eyes of the blind like he did for you and I. Amen? That they might see their need also of eternal life. The question is, do we trust him? Can we believe him? Is he still faithful? He hasn't changed, has he? And so God wants to work in our lives. So notice what the Lord says here. Peter is saying, I'm not worthy. That's a good place to be. That's because we're none worthy. Listen, none of us deserve to be saved. We are saved by God's mercy and grace alone. God didn't see anything in any one of us that said, ooh, other than love, but he didn't say, oh boy, I'm impressed with you. No, listen, we were in filthy rags, and the mercy and grace and love of God came to us and opened up our hearts and minds. I dare say God is worthy to seek after, amen? So Peter says, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. Verse 9, For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. What were they astonished about? They were astonished because they knew that without the Lord, that would have never happened. They knew that God made that happen where before they knew they were. See, you couldn't tell them that God didn't cause the fish to come into that net. It was God that drew them there. And by the way, it will be God, as you and I put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be God that will allow us to be the witnesses he's called us to be. And we're not going to have to be so articulate. We're just going to have the compassion and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell people and point them to the Lord and watch what God will do in their hearts and minds. Quickly, verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, this is wonderful, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And that's still God's command today. But that won't happen if we don't believe God can do it. And that won't happen if we think that we've got to have some kind of smooth talk and some kind of finagling way to get people to hear the God. No. Listen, God will open up the doors, and as we go out trusting the Lord, he will send them our way. He will make sure they come into our net. Amen. Cross our path that we might tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see this happen. And by the way, if what do you think God wants in the hearts of his people? As God looks down tonight, what does he want to see in your heart? Does he want to see, you know what? I'm excited about this idea that's in the Word of God. I'm excited about God using me. Or does he want to see, I think I've heard that before. Oh, things have been the same as they've always been all these years, and nothing will ever happen like that. But if God's people will say, oh, listen, God is the same yesterday. And by the way, the Lord has to even give us that, doesn't he? The Lord has not changed. It is a matter of our heart and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. Help me to call upon you and to trust you that you would even use me to share the gospel message with a lost and dying world, and that I would see souls saved, get saved. And by the way, we have people on our Born of Four prayer list. That'd be a good place to start, especially if you got a family member on there that you would talk to them and see and ask them about their salvation. Call them up, find out what they're, you know, talk to them, and then, Lord, bring it around that salvation. I'll be able to talk about it, Lord, either through me or maybe they'll ask a question or whatever it'll be. But Lord, you do a work so that I'll know you've opened the door for me to witness. Would that be a hard thing to do? I don't think so. So let's trust the Lord and watch what he will do. And notice what happens again here. It says, verse 11, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him." I would say that was a work of God in their hearts and minds. It's the same work that God wants to do in our hearts and in our minds if we'll call upon him. Amen? Amen. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the reminder, Lord, that you bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, may you stir our hearts. May you fan the flames of the salvation that you've given to us, that you might cause us to be excited about your work and your will that you want to perform in our lives. Bless as we break off our prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.